Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
You are watching
All right,
a master
so everyone,
at work.
We're back. Episode 2 of the Relentless Diaries. We're on a bi-weekly basis, so happy Wednesday, because when this comes out, it'll be a Wednesday. We're here, episode 2. I'm your host, Zoe, in case anyone forgot. I'm here with my two girls. We got Miss Whitney and Miss want me to say Yana or say Yana?
Either way, I don't care.
Okay, I like Yana. I don't like her. But yeah, yes. So Whitney and Yana were here, and it's ladies' night, y'all, so we're going to cheers. In case
cheers.
You hear it, that's kind of like our go-to here. There we go. We're drinking rosé, so.
Cheers, have a good conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so ladies' night edition. I really want to have this conversation with strong Black women. I know a lot of women reached out to me, so I can only fit a certain amount of people here. So if you're listening, I promise you there'll be more opportunities for you to come on. I know everyone has a lot of opinions and a lot of voices, and I want to hear everyone. So yeah. This is just the beginning. So yeah, ladies' night edition, I want to talk about kind of just the Black women experience and how, you know, how we kind of see things going and the things that we've experienced from a young age to now, whether it's love, whether it's work, whether it's, you know, family or anything that you feel like we should speak about. I know one big topic that we've been seeing is the relationship between Black men and Black women, not only on a relationship level, but just do we feel like we have the support of Black men? That's something I want to get into first, because I think that's a big thing that a lot of Black women have been vocal on, especially on Twitter or social media. It's sometimes we feel like we don't have Black men's support, unfortunately. And for someone who was raised, like me personally, I was raised in a family where Black men are, they're amazing fathers. Like, I've never been hurt or abused or anything by a Black man in my family. Like, they're 100% my protectors, whether they're my cousin, uncle, grandfather, my father who passed away. So that's something for me where I've seen Black men in my home so admirable, but then as I turn into a woman and I step outside my house and I'm you know growing up and I start to see how other men were raised and they weren't raised like the men
poorly.
In my exactly
poorly.
And they're not raised like the men in my family were raised, how we feel or our experiences when dealing with Black men, like, yeah, let's get into that. So you guys want to talk?
Listen, I have so much to say. Like, I just want to start off by saying that shout out to the men that do protect women.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Not only their group of friends, but women that they see on the street, women they may see at the store. I feel like those are the type of men I respect. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Everyone else, I don't know what to say. Hmm. But I feel like when it comes to the whole protecting of Black women, I always just tell myself, honestly, Whitney, you might die from the hands of a Black man. And that sounds so eerie to say, but I've always been put in situations where I have to voice my opinion or say, like, yo, you need to stop that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like there's a whole bunch of men around and it's me, the woman, that has to say something. And then I'm risking my life because I want to protect another woman. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I've been in so many situations like that. And it just kind of made me sad. And it kind of made me scared when I was in a situation where I was trying to protect a woman and the guy snapped on me completely. Like, he was drunk, snapped on me, was following me blocks and blocks and blocks, and his friends were like laughing about it, mm-hmm. and like not telling him to stop. And I'm just like, okay, so not only have I protected a black woman, and now I'm like alone, and now mm-hmm. I'm a target, you know what I mean? So listen, I have a lot, let's pass it on because before I get emotional.
Yeah, like, no, honestly, I can agree, because there's been lots of moments where even today on the timeline, people were talking about how do men approach you.
Right.
And every time I've ever been approached, and unfortunately it has been only black men, mm-hmm. it's hella aggressive. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never had a moment where I can say more than maybe on both my hands that someone has approached me and it's a black man, and it's been hella pleasant.
Yeah. Right.
Where I'm like, wow, that was a great moment. Like, you know, I didn't feel like my life was in danger, or it was hella aggressive to the point where I felt like I had to be aggressive.
Yeah.
To kind of get my point across, like, hey, I don't want to talk right now, because it's always like a push and shove. Mm-hmm. It's never just, you know, I'm not interested, and then, okay, sorry about that, hope you have a great day, bye.
Right.
It's always something more.
And the thing is, I think people, well, actually, I hope people realize, and they should realize, as black women, unfortunately, in society, we're seen as, like, the bottom of the bottom when it comes to human beings. Not only are we women, which are already seen as less than men, but we're black women, and unfortunately, black people are seen as the bottom of any race, whether mm-hmm. it's person of color or, you know, just anything at all. Black people, I believe, are usually seen as lesser than almost any other person of color. So we're both those things that put us in a place of people looking at us like we're almost worthless. Yeah. And that's something that really bothers me. So when I see black men even look at us in the same light, it's like, come on, you know what I mean? And I worked with a black man at my previous job, which I won't disclose. I don't disclose my work on here. but a previous job I worked at, and this black man, dark-skinned man, you know, and the thing is, like, I don't mind if you have a preference. I do not care.
Yeah.
One thing that bothers me is, do not belittle black women. Yeah. Do not speak down on them. This man, and honestly, I really thought I was going to lose my job that day, because this man looked at me in my face and was like, he told me in his exact words that black women are the bottom of the totem pole.
Disgusting.
Wow. You was a black man?
A black man looked at me, and I was maybe like 20 at the time, and was like, yeah, he's like, honestly, he's just like, black women, like, they're the bottom of the totem pole, man. They're the bottom, like white women, like Latinas, like they're up there. You know, they got the body too. And I was like, fuck off.
Oh, who do you think he was talking to?
But, like, your mom is black.
Thank you.
So, like, what are you trying to say?
She's black. You have an aunt, she's black.
That's crazy. So,
and it's like, personally, in my personal experience, I've never seen a white man be like, oh, white women are the bottom of the totem. You know what I mean? I've never seen, a Latino man or anything, or a Spanish man say, you know, like, Latino women are bottom of the totem. So why do black men, or some, not all, why do some black men feel like it's okay to belittle women who are your own? And that said, why is it only with our community? Why do they feel the need to do that? And that's something that I feel like they need, if they're listening, to look deep and realize that there's a lot of black men, whether they're in your circle, whenever you heard it, who have literally, they put down black women, and I've never seen that happen in another race so aggressively as it happens within our race.
Like, where is it learned?
Thank you. And is it an insecurity? Are you insecure of yourself and your skin tone?
Yeah.
So you want to bring that on to your women?
Yeah.
Are you scared to have dark skinned children because you are insecure of your skin tone? Mm-hmm. Don't bring that over here on me.
Yeah.
I never did that to you.
Facts.
It literally starts from young.
It has to.
It has
like,
to.
Like, it starts from young. And like, even like in the African household, like, my sisters are darker than me, okay? But they, like, people in our church and stuff would, like, treat them a little bit differently mm-hmm. because they were darker than me. But I'm still dark-skinned. But because I'm a little bit lighter than them, I get treated a little bit better. And it's just like, mm-hmm. okay, like, stuff like that you carry on with you, right. you know, throughout your life. So what are these men going through in their household that allows them to act this way towards black women? Like, that's the question.
It has to be deep-rooted. And it bothers me because, like I said, I was raised in a household where black men are my protectors. And it bothers me that there's a point, I think there was a point in my life where I was genuinely scared of black guys. I've really only dated black guys, and I've really only been with black guys. But when I see, like, a black guy on the road and he approaches me, I'm like, fuck. Like, you know what I mean?
Like some shit's going to go down.
I don't know if he's going to get aggressive, and I don't know if he's going to, you know, cuss me out. Because we see that happen all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. we go out, and even if you're not hitting her, like, the yelling and, like, the aggression, yeah. and you're calling a woman out her name, that is a problem.
Yeah.
And it bothers me that I have to step outside of my household, and the men who raised me, I see them as protectors, but they're in the same skin of the men that I'm also used to be scared of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. I feel you, man.
And, like, that, to me, is just... I don't know. Like, I don't even know how to explain it, because I don't want to be scared of black men. You know what I mean? I don't, yeah. I don't want to be scared of, I shouldn't be scared of men, period.
Yeah. yeah.
But that's, I shouldn't,
another topic.
Yeah. And I shouldn't be scared of black men. If I see a black man on the street, I should be able to, you know, like, feel safe, or feel like, you know, he's not going to start an awkward conversation, or he's not going to call me out my name, or try to, and sometimes women don't want to be approached.
Yeah.
Like, there's days.
Just leave me alone, please.
Yes. And I get it, you know, you see a pretty woman, you want to approach her or whatever. But if you get a bad reaction, don't take it personally, because sometimes we just don't want to be spoken to.
Yeah.
And there's a time and place.
Mm-hmm.
That too.
Like, if you see me at a gas station at 11 p.m.
Oh
at night.
Oh, my God, yes.
Why do you feel like it's okay to come talk to me?
Mm-hmm.
From, like, behind, even.
Yeah, like, it's like, why are you doing that? Yeah. Like, there's a time and a place. Like, you don't do that. That's going to make me fear you. Like, you know what I mean? Just, I don't know. They need to read the room.
No, it's true.
You do not do that. Like, that's just, it's just ridiculous, honestly. And a lot of men like to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had it where I've been at the, like, you know, the bus station, and I've had my earphone ripped out. Like, you not hear me fucking talking to you?
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm like, whoa. Clearly
wait,
not.
Wait, I'm sorry. Hold on. He ripped out your headphone?
You see? Yeah. No.
I'm sitting down, and he comes up. I feel my ear go boop, pop right out. You not hear me fucking talking to you? And I'm like, but I have my earphones in. How am I going to hear you to begin with?
And one, don't touch me.
Secondly, don't touch me. Third, that energy, I never asked for that. Like, you know, I'm just minding my business. I'm waiting, you know, doing my own thing. So I put my earphone right back in. I'm like, I don't even know who you think you're talking to. Now you can't approach me. I don't want to talk to you. Yeah. Why would I don't know why? The conversation's not going to continue after this, quite frankly.
Yeah, right.
And you can go about your business. Like, not every day stalk me. Not every day come like, behind me, you know? Like, following me for blocks on end.
Yep.
Like, you name it, I've had it happen, and it's ridiculous. It doesn't even matter how tall, how big, how small you are. Like, these men,
you don't care.
All men, act away. Like, you know what I mean? No.
She said all of y'all.
Or have acted away in some point in their life.
Yeah, at like, some point. Like, and it's unfortunate, because sometimes I feel like they don't understand when they do cross lines. Mm-hmm. And I get that, because sometimes you'll cross a line and you realize right after.
You're like, oh, shit.
You're like, oh, shit. Like, I just did something. It's a little too late to retract it. I'm already here. But some of them, they'll know they're in the wrong, and they're just like, continue about their day. They don't care.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just scary. This is why I carry pepper spray.
Really, do you?
Yeah, and I've used it before.
I need really? That.
Absolutely, yeah.
In Toronto?
Yes.
I need that.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, absolutely. Oh yeah, I've used my pepper spray. And honestly, it's gotten to the point where, like, I take it out automatically.
Yeah.
Even if,
yeah.
like, you're not doing something to me. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, a natural thing
it's
now.
It's a reflex.
Yeah, it's a yeah. reflex. I'm not playing no games, eh? You will get pepper sprayed.
Yeah.
I don't care.
It's just, do you as a woman, as a black woman, feel like you can rely on black men? Genuine question.
So are we talking let me sip the wine.
That's literally what I had to do.
It's a real question.
No.
I've asked, oh wow.
I don't think I've ever had a reason to.
Okay.
As bad as that sounds, maybe. Like, I haven't had many incidences where a guy would just come in and have me rely on him mm-hmm. willingly without me having to ask. Only recently, and I'm 25 this year.
Right.
Have I had someone, like, go above and beyond and make sure I'm okay? Are you good? Let me check up on you. How's your mental?
Right.
And that's when I was like, wow, like, you guys are around?
Right.
Clearly not in Canada, because he's not from here, but
ooh,
I mean.
Yo, wait. Hey. Let's not get into that one yet.
Right?
Oh, Lord. They're gonna flame us.
Oh, God.
I mean, there are a good amount of, you know, male figures that I've met recently, especially in the last couple of years, where I'm like, wow, like, you're going to be a great husband, a great father, a great spouse, a great friend in general.
Yeah.
And shout outs to them, because I don't feel like they get a lot of, you know, hype all the time. People will see them. We'll just see them as a friend. And we're like, yeah, cool. He's cool. But sometimes you got to pick him up on one, too. Not yeah. everyday bash men.
Not everyday. Yeah.
No, it's not everyday. And honestly, that's one thing. It's not. I've said multiple times, like, I will protect black men.
Yeah.
Till the death of me. You know what I mean? I was raised by a black man. There's black men in my family who are like my number ones, you know
exactly.
what I mean? So I could never turn around and say, oh, I hate black men. I'll never date a black man. Black men are garbage. I can't do that.
Because it doesn't matter how much they hurt you too, you know?
Yeah, I can't. Like, because, like, I've seen such amazing black men raise me and raise their kids. Yes. And, you know what I mean? Yeah. Take me under their wing. When my father passed, I could never turn and fix my lip to say that I hate a black man.
Absolutely. Because
a black man did everything for me. You know what I mean?
Kudos to them.
So
I agree with you.
It's hard. It's so hard to have this discussion, because I would never want to make them feel like, wow, like, you're scared of black men, you can't date. Because I, you know, it's just like, sometimes it hurts to see black men treat black women the way that they do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's hard because white men also, like, dating as a black woman is also hard. You know what I mean? Especially when it comes to, like, the colorism within the black community. Ooh. I know, like,
it just goes deep.
It goes deep. And sometimes you want to date outside your race, but you're like, do they even like black?
I've never thought about that.
It's true.
Oh, yeah. I was like, sometimes, do they even like black women? That's the first thing that comes to mind. I've never dated outside my race.
Yeah, me either. I just like black men.
Yeah,
so
do I. I just, like, yeah, I just really like, black men, and I date black men. And but sometimes, you know, if I ever see, like, a good looking man outside my race, I'm like, first thing is like, oh, like, I don't think he'll date black women.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obviously not right of me to judge that right off the bat, but from my experiences, that's just the first thing, like, oh, like, I don't, my first thing is like, is he gonna date a black woman? Does he even like black women? Would he find a black woman attractive? Yeah. And if he does, okay, that's step one.
Step two is the family.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, like, whoa.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Does his family accept black people? Like, you know, when my family comes into the picture, and obviously I'm thinking way far ahead.
You have to, though.
But you have to.
It doesn't stop between just you and him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's deeper.
Like, how will your kids be treated?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How's your family going to be treated?
Exactly.
There's just too many variables. And sometimes, like, I even have to sit and think to myself, okay, like, will you understand my culture?
Mm-hmm.
That too.
When I want to go to Caravana.
Like, hey.
Well, you know what I remember?
What are they called? The peacock outfit?
The American shipper peacock? Shipper peacock? Yeah. So it's like, it's hard. It's like, it's such a weird thing. And I feel like people don't realize that these things run through our heads all the time, and we have to be cautious of these things all the time, because we get disrespected by men outside of our race, and we get disrespected by men within our race.
Yeah.
So it's like, either way, we're looking at disrespect.
Yeah.
Like, but there's no place where we can genuinely feel like home with a man.
Preach.
Unless he's like, we see them as like that rare one, which is unfortunate, because there are so many black men, especially ones that I know outside of my family, who are amazing men.
Yep.
Can we all just have them?
I
want to
shout them
spot?
Out. Yeah. Like, you have to shout them out, because I don't want to be so negative, because I definitely have black men in my life currently that check up on me, especially after like my dad passed. Like, they are there. Mm-hmm. They're on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And so just shout out to them. You guys know who you are. Mm-hmm. Like, should I say their names? Like, I don't. You guys know Grams. I love you. I love you, Grams. I love you, Beto. I love you, Terry. Thank you guys, honestly, for, and Dre. Like, shout out Dre.
Dre is
like,
a real one.
Thank
Dre
you guys.
Been friends for years.
Yeah. Now, like, so thank you guys for just always being there for me, you know, throughout my dad's passing and everything. So I love you guys.
Yeah. Because, I don't want to be like, people think like, oh, black women, they just hate black men all the time. Like, no. Like, no,
I love some of you guys.
But it's true. Like, I never wanted to look like that woman who hates it. Because I'm going to have black children.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm going to, I want to marry a black man. And hopefully, it's not like, nothing against any other race. That's just something that I feel like.
That's what I see for myself.
Okay, so another question. Yeah. Do you believe that, like, the whole, it's not weird, but, like, when people think that women fall in love with the love that they've seen? Do you see what I mean? So you look for traits in a man that resemble your father.
Absolutely.
Or you look for traits in a relationship that resemble your parents' relationship, whether it's subconsciously or it's consciously.
Consciously still.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's also a mix. I think for a lot of people, if you see something that's negative, hopefully you would want to, you know, have the opposite.
Yeah. Right.
And then, but I also believe that when it comes to family, you know, what you see, especially if it's an amazing breeding ground for love and the affections there, you want that. Who else wouldn't want that?
Thank
you know
you.
What I mean? And you see your, you know, your dad hug up on your mom in the bed and bring her little flowers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want that.
Right?
Yeah.
And my parents, even though my father passed when I was 6, I still have, like, vivid memories of, they were a great couple, man. Like, they were genuinely in love. Like, my father loved my mother with his whole heart. And
don't make me cry.
He did. And it's weird, like, if my mother ever hears this or my family hears this, I don't think I've ever admitted this to them, but, like, there was a point where I genuinely, this sounds bad, didn't, like, didn't care about my mom. Not didn't care about my mom, but like
no,
I didn't.
No, Zoe, I feel you.
Yeah, I did because you're a daddy's girl too, yeah, right? Like, I was a daddy's girl. Yeah. Like, my dad brought us to, or brought me, because I'm the oldest, brought me to Mommy and Swim. And he was the only dad. My dad used to bring me to dance class. And
that was
the
my only dad.
Dad, you know, like in the parking lot, or the only dad outside the studio, like waiting for me to come out.
I wish I had those moments.
When I think of that now, and I saw, like, my mother, she was spoiled, you know what I mean? Like, my dad took care of everything.
Listen.
You know, like, he refed basketball. He worked his job. Ooh. He bought us the dream house before he passed, like, all that stuff. So, yeah, my mom had it good. Like, all she had to do was cook dinner. Like, she cooked dinner. She'd take care of us, you know, the ones, whatever, whatever. Yeah. So, I was like, I can, like, that's what I want. And I feel like I've dated in the past, and like, there's one thing that turns me off. It's like, oh, my father would never do that. And I'm done with that guy.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Like, one straight, you're old.
Yeah. And I'm like, my father would never do that to my mother. Like, from what I've seen in those 6 years of my life, he would never talk to my mom that way.
Yeah.
My mom.
So I'm like, yeah.
You know, I hold men to this standard, and I don't know if it's like detrimental or it's a positive thing, but I hold men to this standard where I'm like, I want you to have kids like my father did. He was such a great man. So that one thing that I feel like, ugh, like no man would, like my father never do that. No man. I'm like, I'm done. You know what I mean? And I don't know if that's a positive thing or a negative thing, but
I think it could
be. You deserve
be,
that.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's both.
I have two sides on that because like, in my opinion, there's no one like my dad. Mm-hmm, they don't make.
Yeah. They don't make them like that.
Yeah.
Anymore.
No, like period. Like, so for me, I'm just like, like, am I just being so hard? And like, a lot of the men that I've dated, like, if you know me well, you know I talk highly about my dad.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So a lot of the men that want to date me, they kind of know that already. And they're just kind of like, shoot, like, okay, so I have to like go hard. Like, you know what I mean?
Step it up.
Yeah, they have to step it up because automatically, like, okay, I know this girl has a good father. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I kind of get scared because I'm like, are they like acting? Like, they're trying to like mold themselves into what I want. You know what I mean?
It's
but
genuine.
I mean, they eventually show their ass anyways. But they eventually show their ass, and I just, you know, I just keep it moving. But
yeah,
like, oh man. Yeah, I definitely miss my dad. He was that man.
Mm-hmm.
He loved my mom, and exactly like you, Zoe, like, listen, he treated us with care, with love, and like, I know what it is to see true love. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's another topic of like love. Like, that's just another topic. But I know what love is, and I know what I want in a man, and I'm very sure about it. And I will not settle for less. And that's just that.
It starts from home, truly.
Exactly.
Because even with my parents, like, they were never together. Even I don't remember them ever being together because they broke up before I was born.
Okay.
But my dad always made sure to, like, every Valentine's Day, boom, I got my little presents. And
I love
Easter,
that.
Every single holiday, he made sure to go out for me. Like, my graduation, come with flowers, you know. It was great. I can't lie. Like, and it's one of those things where you see it happening, and when it's in the moment, you don't necessarily appreciate it as much as you probably should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it does set the tone for when you're older. Like, these are things that I want. These are things that I need. I deserve. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because a lot of the girls, unfortunately, you know, they always talk about daddy issues. And it's like, okay, yeah, there are some women who have daddy issues, but it stemmed from something.
Right.
You can't say that she's the issue when it came from a man.
Yeah.
Right.
It was a man. It was a man who instilled those issues into her.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we got to unpack.
We have to unpack.
It's so deep.
It is deep.
It's not like surface level, you know?
Yeah. And I want the love that my parents had. I want the love that my grandparents have, even though, like, my family, we think that they bicker all the time. They're that old, miserable, Jamaican couple. Like, they've been together. My grandmother got married when she was 23.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And now... Oh God, I don't.
That's a decent age. That's a good age.
I think that's too young. She even mentions it. She's like, I got young. She's like, I got married very young. Like, my grandma always thought, she's like, oh, I was so young. Like, I was your age when I got married. And I don't think she regrets it, obviously. Like, she loves her kids. She loves her husband. But I think she was like, I was so young.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And to see them really work through a marriage for over 6 years or
just
6 years like that or more.
Is that possible?
No? I don't know.
Imagine.
Because, like, times were so different back then.
Yeah.
Like, being with someone for that long. But that's the love that my family, that's the love that we saw. That's the love that I saw. That's the love that my parents also mirrored in a sense. So it's like, I can't just settle.
Yeah.
It's not something that I want to do.
And you should never have to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. All for the name of love? Like, no.
And I'm not saying it's going to come so easily.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, obviously, relationships are work.
Yeah,
it's a person thing.
But
doesn't mean you have to deal with cheating, verbal abuse. Like, I can be there for you, like, through your down times, and like I want to go through those type of times with you, but like I'm not dealing with the cheating and stuff. Like we don't, that's not, that doesn't need to be part of a relationship.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So
yeah, me with the cheating, I'm very against. Some people I'm so
against it. Like, and people are just like, you're so unrealistic.
Yeah,
it's bounce. No, nigga. Sorry. Wow. I want to say nigga.
You can say nigga.
You get passionate because no, like you guys don't want to, don't normalize that shit. Like, yeah. Don't do that. Like,
no,
I don't need to deal with that. Like, no.
And some people are like, yeah, you're right. I get that because I'm like you. Like, I'm very against cheating.
I'm so,
like,
no.
In my head, I feel like once you cheat on me, like, that's
it's
it.
A norm.
I can't even look at you the same.
I can't.
Like, why?
And
like,
I'm the type of person where I forgive, but I don't forget.
Yeah.
I'm not the type to throw it in your face, but it's going to be in my head. Like, okay, you know, like, we're going to move past this, but I'll always remember there's that one time you did that shit. And for me, cheating is so big because I've never cheated. Same. I've never had the urge to cheat. I'm just being honest. That's just me.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, so if I don't have these urges, why do you have these urges? You know what I mean? Like, what is the difference? Oh, you know, men are different. No. And okay, yeah, women cheat too, but it's a personality thing.
Exactly.
Like, that's just my, it's not a personality, and I don't want someone who thinks of cheating as, I'm like, oh, you can work past it. It's not light.
Facts. Yeah.
To me, it's not light.
And then it's like, it's so deep because you can, like, it's your health.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean?
Your mental.
Oh my God, yes.
Like, yeah.
Because a lot of, yeah. Let's just. Because a lot of men don't just, they just don't respect.
Yeah, like, it's true.
You want to cheat, but then you want to do it unprotected, and then you want to go back to your girlfriend and just, like, it's just, come on, like, imagine. Have respect. Like,
yeah, and it's, I know that. To me, cheating is, I honestly, like, so I don't want to ever speak, like, oh, for sure, I know, like, I think I would be done.
Yeah.
And it's hard to speak on it if you never experienced it. I get that. But just me and knowing the way that I am right now, I think that would be a deal breaker for me. Because I would always look at you and I just think in my head, like, yo, you really walked out the house.
Yeah.
You really either approached this girl.
It's premeditated. I don't care.
Yes.
I don't care.
It has to be. And I'm a person, I think about every single step that goes into things, you know? Like, I'm like, yo, this guy really either put his shoes on. He put his shoes on to go outside. He picked up his phone to call. Like, you just, so many steps. Why didn't you stop?
No, it's so true.
Like,
and then
you walked through her door, or she walked through your door.
You guys hugged.
And then you guys hugged.
Oh,
you
my God.
Spoke, and I just didn't cross your mind one time.
Imagine.
One time? God. I'm your whole girlfriend, and you didn't think of me once, and then you want to do whatever you... No. Nah, thank you, next. No, I can't. Sorry.
No,
it's unforgivable.
Shout out to Ariana Grande.
I think it's unforgivable, and, you know, I never judge any woman who does forgive after cheating. You know, everyone has their differences.
Yeah, everyone's different.
Has, you know, things that they can get through that others can't, but I just think me, it is... No.
I can't get through still. I'll be turning around... While I'm laying down with you, like, fucking piece of shit. Like, I just want to even beat your ass. Like,
slap him in the middle of the night. And you're sleeping.
So, it's okay. No.
Yeah, so, also, yeah, so we're talking about dating and cheating and, like, not, I guess, so have you dated? You're outside your race? No.
No, never in my life.
No, only black men.
Do we feel that black women are often fetishized?
See, here's the thing. My point of view is always going to be different, but I feel like recently, especially dark-skinned women, it's been a huge wave.
A wave,
like,
okay.
Listen.
See, it's, for me, like, as a light-skinned black woman looking in, it's a little different because, like, I see it in two different ways. I see it as, okay, wow, I'm happy that the women I've been looking at saying, yo, she's fucking fire, are finally getting some recognition. But then at the same time, I'm like, okay, but is this fake, though?
Okay.
Like, is this genuine? Is it something that you want to build on? Is it something past sex? Is it something past just to say, oh, I had her? And, you know, more than that. Because it's one thing to be like, okay, yeah, this person's fire. This person looks good. Like, you know, she's good looking. She has good friends, blah, blah, blah. But then I want to know, like, are you going to marry her? Are you trying to date her? Are you trying to be actively, you know, in her life and be a positive figure in her life?
Right.
Because it's different. And, like... I always feel like it's always going to be different, like, especially when it's a light-skinned girl, like, a lot of the times it's just, like, a trophy thing, like, yeah, she's cute, whatever, she's there, but a lot of the times is there substance involved, like, I want to know. So it's always been a little bit on the different spectrum for me looking in, but I know it's always going to be different being an actual, you know, beautiful, strong black woman who's also dark-skinned.
Right.
It'll always be a different perspective.
Right. Whitney as a dark skinned woman. Gosh.
Do you feel, you know,
like, yeah,
like
we spoke about it.
Yeah, we spoke about this, and I feel like being a dark skinned woman, like you have to be 10 out of 10 for anyone to even look at you. You know what I mean? And I've had guys tell me, "Yo, you're the one dark skinned girl I'll talk to," and it's like, like, are you trying to, like, you're really trying to tell me that out of all the dark skinned women on earth and women that you, dark skinned women that you've seen in your lifetime, I'm the only one you would talk to?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, just like, that's not a compliment. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not a compliment because you want to talk to me because I'm just that. And I spoke about this. Like, I'm known as a fire dark skinned girl.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been known as the fire dark skinned girl when I grew into my looks and, you know, started looking, because I mean,
womanly.
Womanly. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, it's like when I post my pictures, everyday chocolate bars.
Oh,
like everyday chocolate donut. Like, bro, I am a human being. Okay, I am not no donut or no chocolate bar. Like, I'm sorry, because it's like I see these comments and I'm just like what is going on? Like, can you just tell me I look good and go?
Thank you.
Like, you just want to do chocolate bars and donuts. And it's like, it's not even funny, but it's like it's actually funny. Like, it's funny because it's like, why are we? Zoe, please.
I'm sorry.
That's so dumb. Like,
I mean, chocolate bars and donuts.
And like, you have to laugh at it sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, because it's just ridiculous. And like, I definitely feel like, you know, even like, for example, me being an African woman, like, most Africans have larger noses, and like, they will look at my nose and be like, oh, your nose is so nice.
Oh, yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Oh, your nose is so slim. And it's like, oh, you're really African?
Oh, my God. What?
Because I have a slim nose?
Right.
Like, it's like, come on. Like, so I just feel like because I have that quote-unquote slim nose, to me, I have a black nose, in my opinion. Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, like,
we all do.
Like, why does black nose even have to be a thing?
Yeah,
like, so like, black people have different noses.
Yeah,
literally. Like, yeah, okay, usually black people are known for, you know, like maybe wider noses or wider nostrils, but like, there's definitely black people with very straight noses.
Yeah,
or, you know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't even be associated with your race at all.
Yeah, I hate it, and it's like, as I said, like, I just feel like dark skin, like, in my opinion, I feel like we're just a phase right now.
Oh wow,
it will pass. That's how I feel.
I hate that.
What do you think will happen after?
I mean, you guys, they'll just
we'll just phase out.
I don't know. I just think we're just going to phase out. And then, like, it's just going to, let's hype up the light skin girls.
Again.
I hope not.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, you guys are already getting hyped up already. Like, it's going to be a forever thing, in my opinion.
Oh, no, I agree.
Yeah, I like, you know what I mean?
Skin women will always be looked at as, like, you know. Oh.
Exactly.
Unless you're fat.
Oh, God, that's another thing.
That's another story.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I feel like sometimes we do it, like, in the black community, we do it to ourselves. Because I remember people were talking about, I don't know, like, on Twitter, like, you know, like, great or beautiful dark-skinned women. They listed, like, Bria Miles.
But look how beautiful.
Bernice Burgos, you know what I mean? And someone was like, you guys are only listing dark-skinned women with Eurocentric features.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I kind of looked and I was like, oh, like, yeah, it's true. Yeah, like, even though, like I said, we don't want to associate features with race or whatever, but yeah, you're right. The dark-skinned women we are listing, yeah, they have, like, the slimmer noses. The
slimmer nose,
they
yeah.
Have the slimmer, they have the smaller lips, like, no. So I feel like, yeah, we do it to ourselves sometimes, or we're still in that mentality of what the white supremacists started, you know what I mean? They separate us based on our skin tones, you know? Like, look at the Rwandan genocide, you know what I mean? They separated the Hutus and the Tutsis, right? And it was based on, correct me if I'm wrong, like, skin tone or your features. If you had more, like, Eurocentric features or, what's it called, lighter skinned, you were Tutsi, if I remember. And if you were, like, more dark skinned or you had more black features, black in air quotations features, you would be Hutu. So they're already pinning us against each other. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I feel like it's still in our heads. Like, even when we try to rinse it, it's still there. Even when we try to hype up dark skinned women, it's still there. Like, they, like, white supremacy really instilled that is, like, in us, and that really bothers me.
And you know how you mentioned Bria Miles and, like, Bernice Burgos?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you see how they look?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to be 10 out of 10.
Yeah, like, yeah,
you know what I mean? 10 out of 10,
yeah.
Like, you have to have the body.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No waist.
No waist.
Just tits. Bare ass.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, just for you to be seen.
Yeah.
What waist?
Yeah.
And, like, ugh, it's just even sad.
It's true.
Like, I just try to live my life, like, I don't want to, like, I'm not naive to it because I'm dark skinned, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I just try to live my life, like, okay, Whitney, just don't, like, when they're giving you these compliments, just hope that it's genuine. Mm-hmm. Right. Not because, you know, you're that one dark skin girl they find attractive, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that's just how I maneuver now. I just hope you're being genuine when you give me compliments, and that's just it. I can't ponder on it. I've been dealing with this for the rest, like, from when I was born, you know what I mean? Yeah. Till now, so there's nothing I can do.
Yeah, to be honest. Definitely, it's bothersome, and I don't know how we get to a place to remove those thoughts in our head, because it shouldn't be something that, and I feel like dark-skinned women have a harder time than dark-skinned men.
Dark-skinned men are now, they are the shit.
Yeah.
I mean, they went through what we went through once upon a time, but now they are the it men, you know?
Mm-hmm. But like, do you also feel that's a phase too? Like the way like dark-skinned men are a phase? Like, is it the same?
No, I think like it's here to stay.
I feel like it's different. The only reason why I feel like it's different is because a lot of us, especially black women, we already felt that way.
Right.
Yeah. It's just now it's being like normalized.
Yeah.
Hashtag right. Normalize black men. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Because before we've been thought that way. At least I did. Like, I'm majority of the men that I've ever spoken to or looked at, double took at, they're all either brown skin or dark skin. I've never really spoken to a light skin guy, a white guy, any other race. So it's like, I feel like they were always in the forefront. It was just on a different level.
Yeah. And I hate, like, I personally, to go off the same question I asked earlier about fetishization, I think that we are fetishized.
Yeah.
I remember being in high school, and I mentioned this in the earlier episode one. I was in high school. I went to predominantly white high school. I was like 95% of the people were white. And I remember a white guy asking me to hook up with him.
Oh, gosh.
Because he's never been with a black girl.
Oh, brother.
And I was like, I don't give a fuck.
Like, they just want to experience you.
I don't give a fuck. If you've never been with a black girl, why do you think that me, sir, would want to do anything with you to, what, check that black card off?
Yeah, like, you just want to experience me for the moment.
Because what, you heard it's different or whatever? Like, you want to just check that off?
Why am I willingly picking pink dick?
Ugh, what?
I cannot.
I'm sorry. Like,
I cannot.
I can't.
Nope.
And it's like, it's those things. And obviously not every white man thinks that way, but it's those things where it's like, there were so many things that were said to me in high school by white men. I was just like, it really bothered me. And that's something that stuck with me.
How did you survive that?
I don't know.
Oh my God. Really, I can't even imagine you at all white school.
Right? I know. Like, thinking of me now, like being like, so like, comfortable in my skin, like such a black family, a pro-black family, and I went to that school crazy. For 4 years, and it was definitely difficult. Now that I look back at it, I think there's a lot of things that I didn't realize were so hurtful,
like microaggressions.
Yeah, microaggressions, and so flat out racist a lot of the time.
Yeah,
and now looking at it, I wish I had that mindset back then to really call that stuff out.
Yeah.
I feel like I know I should never look into the past, but I feel like I did myself a disservice by not calling those things out when I saw them.
Yeah.
But
past is the past, you move forward.
Yeah, exactly. But that's a big thing. And I feel like there's been times where white men approach me and it's like, you know, I really love black girls, man. Like, oh, you know, like, you're my type. Like, all of you.
It's like, I just,
and
please.
I'm like, okay, that's not doing anything for me. It's not doing
anything.
Where's
my
hey? Literally, like, hi, how are you, sir? Nice to meet you, too. Like, that, you, the first thing coming out of your mouth is the fact that you only date black girls, or you, that's not something that I like.
That's not a good starter.
Yeah. And it's not something that I would, like, I feel like it's weird if you only date black girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Why is that the first thing that came to your mind? Why is that something that's even, that you act on? Like, what?
Why do you have to announce that?
What are your issues?
Yeah, you should have kept that to yourself.
Yeah, what are your issues now? Because now I feel like it's, like, let's get into a conversation, you and I in the club, me and this white man, about your deep issues. That's weird. You know what I mean? So.
I need some more wine.
Yeah. Oh, here, I'll pour you up some wine.
Thank you.
It's weird. I definitely think that we're fetishized. And I also think that black girls are sexualized at young ages.
Thank you.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah.
That's something that I feel like we can discuss a little bit. Like I said, I was fortunate to come from a strong household with very protective black men, so I've never been sexually abused or, you know, looked at
in that kind of light.
I know a lot of women have, and I've heard women speak on it, but I definitely think that black girls are sexualized from a young age, because, you know, sometimes black girls are they're more shapely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or they are, they hit, sometimes they say they hit puberty faster, or, you know, they start to get more womanly at a younger age.
Yeah.
So do we, do you also agree with that statement? Like, yeah, black women are also sexualized from a young
absolutely.
Age.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately happens within your home or it happens out, like, you know, whether at school or things like that too.
If you are a Ghanaian and you're listening to this, you know that this has, this is a thing in the Ghanaian community where you're a young girl and the Ghanaian men are like, oh, turn around for me. And it's like,
what?
Yeah, imagine. Man. Ghanaian older uncles are very, like, weird. And I remember, like, going to church and my mom would, like, okay, from young, I was already developed. Like, I was, like, one of the first girls in my school that had, like, big woman bra. Like, you know what I mean? Like, like, I had the breast, I had the bum. Like, it was already there, you know? And my mom, like, caught it from young and she just, like, kind of got worried. You know what I mean? So, like, when I would go to church, and I would want to wear, like, something to show my shape, my mom's like, no, no, no. Like, you can't wear a pencil skirt. You know what I mean? Like, it's
imagine
too much.
At church.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't do that. And it's just like, I'm young. I don't know why she's telling me not to wear it. I'm just going to listen. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's like, you get older and you realize, yo, like, some of these men were weird in my church. Like, some of them were just predators, man.
Those little pinches when you walk past. Like, oh, hey, well, on your shoulder. Yeah, like, those ones?
And me, I was a vocal kid, so you couldn't touch me and I wouldn't say anything. I'd be like, don't touch me, eh? Run to my dad, like.
Yeah, and I think that's also something that sticks with us for a long time, or black women who have experienced that for a long time, and that we bring that into our relationships, we bring that into dating. And I honestly don't think that men realize that there are a lot of deep-rooted issues that a lot of black women face as young girls or young women growing up that we bring into these, and we're not angry black women, you know what I mean? But there's, and I hate when people think, like, you know, black women can't get angry, whether we're in the workplace, whether it's family, whatever, we're always seen as that angry black woman. Well, obviously there's deep-rooted issues, or obviously there's something that we've experienced that make us react to certain things different ways. But why, when a white woman goes off, it's, oh, you know, she's just angry? Or why, when a Latina woman goes off, she's hot because she's speaking Spanish?
Oh my god.
Like, that is what bothers me too. And it happens. It's literally black men or any other men using the white or white supremacy that we're fighting against within our own community. You're literally using what has been instilled upon us through discrimination and racism and beating each other up for it and beating your women up for it. And it's a problem because, like I said, it's such a bigger issue. Why are we always the angry black girl? Wow, black girls have so much attitude.
But when black girls, guess who's playing attitude? Like,
But when a Latina or a Latina girl has attitude, or it's a Spanish girl, it's so sexy. Oh yeah, she's a hot Latina. She's spicy. What?
Why can't we be spicy?
Why can't we be spicy? why when I yell you can't be you can't be excited? But you want to be excited when she's yelling,
bro. Like,
if I speak Spanish as a black woman, hold on. So if I speak Spanish as a black woman, am I now sexy? Is it the language that gets
me? What is it?
Maybe it's a mix. But definitely, I don't feel like it's going to hit as hard as they make it seem.
Is it the language that's getting them? This is so fire. Because I have Duolingo.
Hey.
Same.
I have Duolingo. I'll learn the one too. And cuss a man in Spanish, see if I get
the same result. Exactly. I'm dying.
It makes no sense. Like, I am confused. Generally, and when I hear that, I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
So why can't we be angry?
Yeah.
Why can't we cuss you out? Neo said, "When you're mad for a reason."
Yo,
was there a black girl in that video? I don't know.
Was it?
I think she was. Wasn't she dark skin?
I don't know.
Do your Googles.
Let me see. Check.
But like I said, Neo, when you're mad, he loves when his woman gets mad. But you guys don't like when we get mad. I think you guys want to sing that song.
I think the girl's dark skin too.
But we'll fact check it. That the song "When You're Mad" by Neo. Yeah, you know, he's talking about, like, you know, when women gets mad, it turns him on. When she cusses at him, he loves it. He wants
YouTube ads.
And it's just like, why, when we do that, it is such a big deal.
I'm sorry, the ads, you know.
He'll search it. I think he's pulling it up right now.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll see what woman he used in that video. But I think that's a big thing. I think it's, the double standard is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I've never heard a guy go, yo, when she cusses at me in patois, like, it just gets me, you know? I've never had that happen ever. At least I've never seen someone who comes up to you and says, "Oh, when your girl's cussing me in tree,
Doing what? That's the Ghanaian language, tree.
Like, I've never heard that. Oh,
so okay, so we have the video.
Okay.
Oh, wait, this is him in the club. Okay, so we're watching the Neo When You're Mad video right now. And we're trying to see the lead.
I thought she was dark skinned.
And she is, she looks like she's like Afro Latina.
Yeah, she definitely.
Okay, so see, it goes against my point. So when Latina women or Afro Latina women get, you know, angry or whatever, it's.
Yeah, she's definitely
Afro Latina. Afro Latina or some of that. But see, that's the point. Like when they get angry, she looks so sexy. But if a dark skinned woman is acting like that,
we're beasts.
You're angry.
We're beasts.
Oh my God. Yeah, we're beasts.
Dog.
We're angry.
Listen.
And that's just like. It's crazy. And that the double standard, I don't like.
Yeah.
I don't like it. And it bothers me. That's all I'm going to say. But, and I think it also creates unhealthy competition within our own community.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, we're competing against each other, which I feel like we shouldn't be. We're competing against Black women. We're competing against women of other races.
Yeah.
For the attention of men. Or even for jobs in the workplace, whatever. And we're usually getting the same negative response.
Mm-hmm.
And that competition between, and I don't even understand, like, what are we competing for?
Yeah. Like, why? Yeah.
And I don't, it doesn't even make sense to me because, yeah, like I said, we're competing against, like, dark skins competing against light skins.
Yeah.
For Black men who sometimes are often see us as less, mm-hmm. or for white men who you maybe not know why he's even dating a white woman. Like, what is this unhealthy that we're, this unhealthy competition that we're insinuating on ourselves. Why?
Yeah.
Like, literally, for what? And I think that's a question we need to ask ourselves most of the time is, why are we competing? With, like I said, it's that we're using that white supremacy that's been inflicted on us and we're using it within our own community. So at the end of the day, we're still pleasing the white man.
Yeah. We need to...
Even if we're fighting start from the beginning.
We just need to start from the beginning, bro. Because at this point, like, it's just... It's some people's lifestyle.
Yeah. And, you know, Black women are so strong and, you know, they, a lot of Black women I know are hustlers. And even when they do that, I like to speak on Sasha Gay. So she's Flaws of Couture. Right?
Yes. Shout out Sasha.
Yeah. Yay. I'm pretty sure her at on Instagram and
Flaws
Twitter.
Yeah. Flaws of Couture. Right?
So I know if you're hearing this or if you've heard of it, she has a clothing brand. And she was very vocal about what happened. How do you pronounce this?
Shein.
Oh, basically, what happened is she has her own clothing brand, and I'm pretty sure it was a specific style of T-shirt that. And her clothing brand, I think, a little bit. It's a small business.
Yes.
Compared to Shein, obviously, it's a small business, but you can obviously tell that T-shirt was completely.
It was copy and paste.
Copy and paste.
Wasn't even remixed.
Like, not even. Oh my gosh! Like, you guys don't have no shame.
It was copy and pasted and. It was, like, I think her shop, Sasha Gay's shop is called Shop FOC, if I'm correct.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, being a Black woman now, we're out of the love topic, whatever. Being a Black woman in a work environment, you are grinding. You know what I mean? You are starting your own business. Mm-hmm. You know, you're having your own voice because maybe you find it difficult to work for the white man. Or maybe you find it difficult to work in a corporate environment.
Yeah.
So, you're starting your own company. You know what I mean? You're trying to make your money. You're trying to feed your family, pay your bills, blah, blah, blah. You want to be the entrepreneur. So imagine doing that as a Black woman and going on and seeing this huge company that has how many million followers they have. I don't follow them. I don't even know. I don't shop from them, whatever.
Yeah.
Have exactly your product.
And I think what hurt me the most is like listening to her speak and saying she used her hard earned money from serving.
Yes. Right.
Her toonies, her loonies, like her $5 bills, like for you guys to just steal her design. Like
it's
like not even. No, you guys took it. You guys just took it and ran. Like that's just what it was. Like, and like. As she said, she worked so hard on this brand and like you guys could even give her credit at least.
Not even exactly.
But like, you guys just took it and claimed it as your own. And it's like, this is what Black women have to go through.
Yeah.
And not like, even safe in the workplace.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine.
And we're always, like I said, it comes to the point where as a Black woman, we're always seen as less. Like they genuinely felt that maybe they didn't even really think of her race. But they genuinely felt that, okay, she's a small business, you know, she's an influencer, but she doesn't have the millions of followers that we have on our site. Maybe people don't even really shop her clothing. Let's just take this shirt.
Well, if my thing
she's
was
popular though,
but she's popular. Is. Like, another thing too, she is popular.
So it's like, how did you guys think you're gonna get away with that?
Exactly.
Like, no, but exactly. I'm trying to figure out how many people did this go through,
right?
Before someone did their research to go and look, like
right.
thighs so big. You know, I think that was the quote for the on the shirt.
Let me look at the shirt.
And I'm just saying, like down to the color, even the exact same shirt.
Oh, 100%.
There was people telling her, you know, oh my God, I literally just bought that shirt like 2 weeks ago.
Right.
It's been up on that site and it took them days to even get back to her in an email.
Yeah. So the shirt says thighs so thick and it's literally like a baby blue shirt and it's the exact same shirt.
Yeah.
No, like, remix. It's copy and paste. Like, legit. Like,
I wouldn't even be surprised if it was
the nerve.
The same supplier even. Like, you know what right. I mean? Like, it is literally identical and there's no way that they could ever deny. Like, I'm pretty sure like the wording in so
the
has like
the font is the same,
the font is the same. When it says thighs so thick but there's like three letters in so they also put they didn't even try to like just do like, you know, maybe like we'll do one letter in so they did like the exact same
thing. they copied and pasted.
Yeah,
absolutely copied
same
and pasted.
Rhythm,
yeah,
same lyrics.
You better literally. Run her the check simply.
Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, even in the workplace or when we try to do things on our own, people still think they can steal from us
mm-hmm.
or do whatever they want and make it look better because they don't have or they have the bigger following.
You know
what I mean? They have the money. They have the team that they think they can do that and get away with it. But I'm very glad that she caught it and I'm very glad that she's getting the support.
Same.
Because
you have to support. We have to support each other.
We have to.
Cause
we have to.
Shop FOC.
Yeah,
yep.
Shop FOC. Let's shout it out.
Absolutely.
Because it's shop.foc on Instagram. Looking at Instagram right now. And she, like, from IC, I don't know her personally, but, like, you know, we follow
each other. Sasha is amazing. Like, she puts in work.
Yeah. And she seems like, so true to her work.
Yep.
And she seems so motivated
right
to do these things. And, yeah, so we have it on the screen right now. Looking at it, it's the exact same thing. FOC's Plaza Couture. Why did I not put that?
Yeah.
Okay, I look at the screen, I'm like, okay, so that makes sense. But yeah, so if you like that t-shirt, you're listening, buy it from Sasha. Don't.
That's so thick.
Yeah, don't get it from these. And like I said, another thing I said, we can't keep shopping at these fast fashion brands that don't care about us, that steal from us, that use our culture as a selling point. Because I know I need to stop shopping at Fashion Nova.
You have to stop it.
I'm very guilty.
I'm very guilty.
And there's times where like I'm going on vacation or, you know, I know I have a party next month and like, I need a quick dress.
Yeah.
That's kind of cheap. That will come quick on Fashion Nova.
Yeah.
I'm on Pretty Little Thing. But they're using, like, they know, the like, like Kanye said, we're new slaves. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they know that we're going to buy these things. They know if they use our culture, we're still going to fall into it. Same way with buying designer.
Yeah,
like even when they do the racist things, unfortunately,
I'm a designer.
Yeah, and I'm a because
I have a,
And I'm definitely, I blame myself sometimes. I have designer pieces.
Yeah, same.
If it's cute, I'll grab it. Chances are I'm not grabbing it though.
But usually, one thing about me, I don't buy designer full price usually because I used to work at a like store that sold designers,
okay.
So I would get my discount. So it's hard for me now to get my discount on designer clothing and then pay full price. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, who do I know? Who can I call? But even now, like seeing designers do racist things, like what Gucci did, the racist turtleneck where it was like a blackface turtleneck, something like that.
Oh, brother.
We still buy Gucci.
Nisa's gonna laugh because Nisa knows I love Gucci. Nisa's gonna laugh right now. She knows I love Gucci. And it's just like, oh, like, why do you guys have to, like, black people support you guys the most. And
right?
then this is what you guys wanna do.
Like, yo, black people will spend, like, they will save money for that Gucci belt. They will save money for that Gucci hat.
Oh,
but the
God.
Issue is why?
That's another thing, too.
That's the real question. Why do you
why?
Even need that for? I'm not trying to see your Giuseppe belt. Like, I really don't care, truly.
Yeah.
But it's I guess it's depending on, like, I guess your style.
Mm-hmm.
It depends. Are you buying these clothes because you want to stunt on other people?
Yeah.
Or are you just buying it because you genuinely like it?
That's another thing, too.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I genuinely like the stuff. You know what I mean? If I'm buying something, I genuinely like it.
But here's the question. If you saw that exact same thing with no label on it, would you still buy it? Because there's been times, hear me out, there's been times where I've seen, like, let's say on these little knockoff, you know, thingies, you'll see an item on, like, Fashion Nova. And right. I'm like, oh my God, this is so cute. And someone's like, oh, that's a knockoff of Versace. And I'm like, bitch, I didn't even fucking know. Like, because I don't follow brands like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I would never know. I'm looking at it and I'm like, wow, this is hella cute.
Yeah.
And I want to pick it up. And then when someone says, oh, it's a knockoff of something.
And you're just all like, of a sudden,
yeah. And then now in your brain, you're like, okay, like the value of this item has just boop, 100%. Dropped down.
Yep.
Yeah.
But why? We have to really think about that. Truly.
Capitalism?
Maybe it's low-key the name. maybe it's low-key.
It has to be the name.
It has to be the name.
And we got to stop giving them power.
Yeah, we do. It has to be the name.
Let's make our own name brand.
I mean, there's a lot of, there's not a lot, but what's that brand? They're black owned. They sell really cute bags. Let me show you the bag.
I don't know. Is it a designer?
Yes, it's a designer. I think they're called Tel.
One brand that I do
this
love.
This one, this brand.
Which is one's this?
Oh, I don't know what brand that is.
I've seen their bags.
Do you know this brand?
I've seen those bags.
I don't know what brand that is.
I think it's.
But.
Okay, hold on. Let me.
But shout out to Aforé.
Yeah, let's do Googles.
Aforé in Toronto. They actually have a lot of Ankara pieces.
This is what it's called.
Pieces that are like African based.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful clothing. That's and what all I can think of to myself is, you know, why aren't they bigger?
Right. We need to support them. That's the thing. I think
like this is black owned and the bags
so
are nice.
Big. That we spend our money. And we see the rappers wearing it. We see stars wearing it, you know, Gucci, everything, Cardi B.
And they're getting paid to wear it, which is even funnier.
Or they get a solid. Doesn't like Migos have like a for life discount on Gucci?
Oh,
like
do
Versace,
they?
Wasn't it? They have something a whole song
like that. I think. I think it was either Gucci or Versace where they give them like a lifetime. But I think the discount maybe like it's only small. Maybe it was like 15-10%. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know.
Wow.
But But it's like why? Like why?
What I will say is that don't feel bad if you are still buying Gucci.
You're really defending Gucci.
No, I'm not gonna defend them, but. What I'm trying to say is that how if you can buy as more black owned products, do that.
Yeah.
Your
yeah.
1-2 pieces is not going to make you a bad person. That's what I want to say. Yeah. You know what I mean? Having your 1-2 pieces is not going to make you a bad person. But if you can put more money into black owned businesses, that's amazing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's my message.
For me, it's hard because, like I said, Gucci has done some very ignorant things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So it's like, why do I still want to wear their stuff? Or why? And I'm really trying, like, not to buy Gucci.
Yeah.
Or I'm trying to kind of step away from spending money on designer things because it's like, do they really care about their black audience? Do they really care about their black customers? Do they, you know what I mean? Do they just use black models just to make sure they're diverse? Like, does it, are they genuine with this?
Yeah.
Which sometimes I think that it's not. So trying to go on a little step away from
designer. We have to try.
We have to try.
If you already have your pieces, it's okay.
Yeah, I like that. I already have my Gucci, so please
don't judge me when you see me on road with it. Please. But like, you know, if you can, like that brand that we just posted, like
it was Telfar, right?
They have pretty ass bags,
and it's black owned.
Black owned, apparently. Oh, okay. Yeah,
I've seen a couple of shoe brands that are popping off right now that are black owned too, and a lot of people are, you know, putting their art to their. Into their world.
Yeah.
Right. I love it.
Oh, Telfar is black owned.
Yeah.
So it's owned by a man named Clemens, who is a 35-year-old Liberian American. He grew up in Queens.
Oh, wow. Ooh, shout out to Queens.
So we need to buy Telfar.
I'm trying to order a bag actually from them. I really want the pink one.
Yeah.
But literally.
And they're a pretty good price point too.
Yeah. Literally everything sold out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Which is really amazing. Yeah. I'm just trying to, you know, wait.
Yeah.
I hope they do not get bought out. We need them to stay. Yeah, their thing too.
I know. It's hard because
their bags are beautiful.
They want to sell, right, to these bigger.
Oh, yeah, that's gorgeous.
To these bigger
companies, especially when it comes down to like suppliers and how they want to make everything so fast.
Right.
Yeah.
I
love that bag.
These bags are really nice.
They're really cute.
Looking at them. But
we'll be purchasing.
We'll be purchasing. Yeah, exactly. I even think, what's the other? Is it Martine Rose? I think she's also. My friends have hoodies by
Martine
her.
Rose.
Yeah.
Can you show me?
Yeah, I think we're gonna pull it up. But I think she's also another black designer.
Ooh,
that we should support. But anyways, point is, let's just. We try to need to step away from the designer. Did you drop your mic?
Girl, it's about to fall.
We need to step away from. the Gucci and the designer just for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At least let them feel it and know they need to make some changes and support. But
thank you, girl.
Yeah. We need, the way we're kind of boycotting the Toronto clubs, we need to save our dollar for black-owned businesses.
Yeah.
But yeah, and like I said, in the workplace, it is hard. Workplace, it is hard. Retail, it is hard. If you're an artist, it is hard. I know even like going into like female creators, especially black female creators, it's definitely harder for them. I know a lot of black creators, female creators that I know who were like, sometimes, you know, when you want to mean business, people don't take you seriously or they try to hit on you. And that's just from being a woman. You know what I mean? They try to turn it into a, you know, like, let's go for a late night meeting at this restaurant. Lord. And it's like, I'm here for business. I'm not here to, you know what I mean? Like, stroke your ego or make it feel like we're on a date when I'm really just
here. I just want business. Weird.
And it's hard because women feel like they have to do these things because they don't want to offend their business, their potential business partners. So they want to, okay, let me just go on this date, or let me just go on this awkward meeting that I don't really want to go on, so this person knows that I'm serious about my company. Even though we know it's
just
unprofessional.
Just to get the foot in the door.
Exactly. Even though we know it's unprofessional and we wouldn't usually do it, but because we feel like we're in a place where we're weaker, we do it because we want to see our business thrive. And that's another issue that I have too, which you see with, and it's female creators or like female artists, especially black female artists. Like, black female artists are also often very sexualized, you know what I mean? Like, if you want to be a black female rapper, if you want to be a black female rapper,
let's just
you have to be titties out, ass out, 29 and, like, you have to be a sex icon.
And I feel so sad because you, like, you guys know I drop freestyles.
Yes, ma'am.
And you guys hear what I say in my freestyles, like, very sexualized. And I'm just like, okay, Whitney, you have to, like, get away from that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean?
But I know, I think Cardi B also spoke on it where she was like, okay, like, you know, there's times where I've tried to step away from that sexual shit.
And they won't, they won't let her.
They won't let her, or it doesn't sell. We're not, people are not downloading. People don't care to listen to it.
Yeah. You know, look at how Ring. Ring with Kehlani.
Yeah.
That could have been a wick. Like, that should have been blown up. I feel like they should have given her her flowers for that song. Because from top to bottom, shout out to Kehlani, you know, it was fire. Like, but no one wanted to hear them talk about, you know, relationship problems.
Right. Yeah. They don't care about his shaking ass. Doing things with men and talking about our parts.
Yeah.
That's what they want. That's what sells.
They want to hear some real hot girl shit.
Yeah. And there's so many.
No offense. My girl Megan.
We love Megan. But yeah, they want to hear that sexual shit. And I feel like there's many artists who are black women who are maybe not that some people are just not sexual figures, and that's completely okay, you know what I mean? But they're still good artists. They still have bars, you know what I mean? They still have a good sound. Like, why don't we give them the time of day?
Because sex sells.
And I remember, I don't remember, like, well, I do remember when I watched, like, the Notorious B.I.G. movie. You guys watched that one?
No.
They changed Kim.
Oh, yes, exactly. So Lil' Kim started as, like, this, like, really, like rough, like, you know, like New York rapper, like hard girl. And Biggie was like, yo, don't do that shit. Like, that's just not gonna, like, get sexy. Like, we're not,
and
no one's gonna buy
look
that.
Look where it got her. It got her far.
Okay, exactly.
Yeah.
So,
to this day,
there's, I feel like there's a lot of black female artists who are overlooked, whether it's rap, R&B, or whatever, are overlooked because they're not sexy enough, or they don't sexualize themselves in a way. And not even just black women, just, I feel like women in general, like, you have to be a sex icon in the music industry to be seen at, to even be heard or looked at or invited anywhere or even listened to.
Well, even, like, think about people like Missy Elliott.
Right.
Yeah.
Her music was completely saturated with sexual
innuendos.
Okay.
Did you see how that plays out?
Right.
Every single song, One Minute Man, the title alone.
Right. Yeah. She was sexual.
She was talking about some sex. And she loved her some sex. But when you think of, like, you know, sexual icons in the rap industry, Missy Elliott's the last person
you don't
you're
going to
sit there and think of.
Right.
The last person.
I know. She changed the game.
She did.
She changed it.
People really, I don't know when I saw someone on the timeline say, like, Missy wasn't sexual. Mm-hmm. But I was like, excuse me?
That girl?
Like, she's
that
not,
woman.
She's
that
not
woman,
like,
is sexual.
Thank you. She's not like Cardi B, Nicki Minaj, where, like, their titties are out. But she was talking her shit.
Listen.
She was talking her shit and she was getting very explicit.
I know she's amazing in bed.
Put my thang down, flip it, and reverse it.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
You ever she seen, meant that.
Exactly. So it's like, no, she was, she meant it. And I feel like she got, people used her as an example. Like, oh, well, she's a black artist who, you know, she's so big and she's also a woman who wasn't sexual. What?
She was.
She was very sexual.
Very sexual. You very ever seen much. Thickness in a thong?
Yeah.
You hit it like a game of ping pong?
Yeah.
Like that. Bars. Like those are her bars. So it's like, don't ever come here and act like you don't have to be sexual to be a successful female art. You have to. You guys weren't paying attention. She was doing it differently.
Yeah.
And very intelligent in my point of view. I thought it was really cool how she did her stuff.
Yeah, because she didn't have to show off her body to get the message across, you know?
But the message was still received.
Listen, I was receiving that.
Exactly.
Throw in a garbage bag.
Exactly. But like I said, there's just so many female artists, especially whether it's like Young MA, who's a more, you know.
She's amazing.
She's amazing. I love her. And I think she's so talented.
Yeah, I think she's talented. Like,
very talented. Very much. I think she's very
Rhapsody.
Talented. Yeah.
Is that how you pronounce it? Rhapsody?
I don't know. I think it's Rhapsody.
Rhapsody.
Yeah, Rhapsody. Oh. Havaya Mighty.
Oh, yes. She's from Toronto, right?
Or Brampton, yeah.
Yes. So, recently, I listened to the song she had. And you said her album was called 13th? Yeah. So, another thing is, from what I can see, I don't know her personally. I've never met her. But from what I can see on her Instagram, she's not like that. Very sexual, crazy, like talk about her body.
I 13th Floor.
Oh, 13th Floor is her. That was her album that she released.
I'm going to give it a listen.
Yeah.
It's really good. Like, I have a couple of her songs downloaded. Waves was one of my favorites. That's featuring Sean Leon.
No. Oh, okay.
Wishy Washy. That's featuring her sister, actually, Omega Mighty.
Omega Mighty.
Listen, the names are fire.
Oh, wow.
But her sister, I believe, also is a makeup artist and she sings. Oh. And the whole family is friggin' talented.
Right.
Like, it's crazy. But her whole album, if you listen to it top to bottom, it flows like no other. Production's ridiculous. I don't know who her producer is.
Let me download it now.
No, Apple, seriously. It's
Spotify?
So good. Yeah. I believe it's on every single platform because I have it on Apple Music. But same thing, like Waves, Wishy Washy, Blame, 13, Fugazi. That was one of my
Okay,
tracks.
So I'm thinking of the song 13.
Yeah.
And I think she just released that video not too long ago.
Most likely,
or recently, or maybe that's on YouTube that I saw. So I love that song.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a great, message, and it's so relevant.
I just downloaded it. Good. I'm definitely going to listen to it.
Yeah. And I think it had a great message as to what's going on right now.
Yeah.
But I would never say she's overlooked. I think she's still fairly new. Correct me if I'm wrong.
She's been out for a while
because I know she received an award.
Yeah.
But compared to like bigger artists, you know what I mean? She doesn't have that same, like I said, she's not that, like, that
she's
sex
icon.
She's
not overtly sexual.
Exactly. Yeah. From what I can see.
The lyrics, they're in there.
She has bars.
She has the, listen.
I need to listen to
this
her.
This girl says she has, what is it? Throat like throttle.
Oh.
Okay. That line, I was like, ooh. Tweeting it like
with this timeline,
that's a real bar. Got throttled, and
exactly.
I was like, what?
Yeah,
but you wouldn't have even took it in. Like, I had to replay the song like 6 times, and I was like, what? Wait,
how many years has she been, like in the music scene? That you would say
it has to be at least over 4 years.
Oh, wow,
it has to be, because I know back when I was in college, she was still making music,
right.
And even before then, I think even when I was in high school, she was making music because she even had met Chris Brown at one point.
Oh, wow.
A whole bunch of stuff was happening. I know when I used to follow her when like Facebook was really big.
Right.
She had met Chris Brown and like her music was popping
And she was
off.
On like Sway. Like, I think she did like a Sway appearance.
She was also in the group The Sorority.
I'm not sure.
I think
that.
They were called The Sorority, actually.
Right. But yeah, so I listened to a few of her songs, and I think she's super talented, and I don't want to say she's overlooked,
okay,
but I hope it doesn't get to the point where she's overlooked because she's not overtly sexy.
Yeah.
She doesn't have her titties out all the time. She
yeah.
doesn't have ass shots. Like, I hope she does, her talent doesn't get put in the shadows of however she wants to peel herself sexy. Oh, The Sorority, so that's what it is.
Yeah.
Is that how she started? Okay.
I believe that's where they first, like, popped off. It
right.
was okay. either 3 to 4 girls at one point.
Right.
She was one of the main rappers. A lot of the other girls were rapping as well in the
okay.
group. Wicked. All of them, as you can tell, like, even from the photos, like,
yeah.
they're exuding strength. Like,
right.
I don't see them coming out with, like, titties for no reason, you right. know what I mean? And if the titties are out there for a reason, you yeah. know what I mean? But even then, like, it was one of those things where when I first saw them pop out, I was like, okay, y'all are doing your thing. And they're all GTA based. Oh, wow. So I'm here for it.
I really just hope that we change the narrative where we can have artists like Havaya Mighty, Deja.
Yeah.
Really, yes. like, just push the envelope of being truly themselves
yeah.
and being artistic and being talented and getting the same opportunities and the same gigs or whatever yeah. that other artists who purposely sexualize themselves
yeah
those opportunities, I think they should be given, because it's about the talent at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And I get it, you know, sex sells, whatever mm-hmm. but like, hello.
Because even Deja SB made a name for their own,
right?
Like, they didn't have to do much to necessarily shake the room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They come into the room, boom, it's there.
Right.
So that's another issue within black yeah. women.
I feel like we have so many issues.
Yeah, yeah. Many issues.
And
issues,
I hate to say it, but I feel like there's so many things that we go through that are often overlooked, which yeah. is terrible. But I feel like, how are we going to change these things? Because I always like to end with, like, a solution. Like, how do we want, like, at my last podcast, I asked, how are we going to, you know, change the next generation of black kids growing up? How do we want to change how black women, can we even change, do you think, how black women are perceived in the social atmosphere?
Yes, definitely.
It can be right. changed. Anything yeah. can It'll be changed. Time. It's going to take time, yeah. And I feel like it starts with our black men lifting us up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, please lift us up.
Please lift us up.
Like, yeah. you know what I mean? Like when you lift us up, we feel better about ourselves. You know what I mean?
Right.
Our own kind they love us. They care mm-hmm. about us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So let's just start to love each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's only so much we can do
yeah.
for other women. Like,
I know.
Like, for every six of my girls that are like, yo, you look good, you look good. It takes one guy going, yo, what is that? And I'm like, yeah. why are you gonna do God. That though? Like,
yeah,
why you gotta take my whole mood down? Like, now you're on 10, now I'm on 2. Like,
yeah, and
a lot of men like to do that though.
Oh, yeah,
like the bringing of the woman down.
Think you're cute?
It's like, yes, I am cute. Really, actually,
literally,
yes,
I am. Thank
that's
you.
That's why I'm out here like this.
Yeah, and yeah, it's definitely we have. Like I said, we have to uplift each other. Black men have to uplift black women.
Yeah,
yeah.
You came from black women. If you are black, you came from black women. Uplift the women around you.
or maybe, sorry.
That starts with the black men. We need to lift our queens first.
Oh my
it doesn't
God.
Matter if you came from a black woman or not.
I'm dying.
Okay. So, if you had background,
a
Clyde.
Black parent.
Yeah, Clyde
you
is.
You don't even need to give that money if you don't want.
No, I'm just saying, Clyde. No, you're right. Correct me, because yeah, Clyde is our producer. And he is a black man, but he came from a Caucasian woman. So still, he has a black parent. So
let me be a black man that came from Caucasian.
Yes, you're right.
Oh, yes.
Let me rephrase. If you are a black man with a black parent,
yeah.
you have a black figure in your life that is close to you.
Yes.
So please uplift the black women around you.
Yeah, period.
Because that is what
we need.
It literally
takes nothing. It takes nothing.
It literally takes nothing. It's not hard. Like, it's like we're asking for cancer to be what's the word I'm looking for?
Like cured?
Cured. I'm looking to solve. Cancer to be cured tomorrow. Like, no, we're just asking to be respected. We're asking to be protected because it is often hard for black women.
Yeah.
It not even often, it is hard
Period.
For black women.
And we gonna protect you.
We
so
are
like
always. Like
listen.
With not even a thought.
Not a thought.
That's the craziest part. Like it's so natural.
And I would never want a black woman to feel like she can't find love or she can't be loved because of the color of her skin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've definitely experienced that situation where I thought that certain men, especially black men,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't like me because I'm not light-skinned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I don't have that, like, light-skinned mixed hair texture.
Yeah.
That 3D.
Your hair is beautiful, Zoe.
Thank you.
It's gorgeous.
So beautiful.
Thank you.
Like,
I've learned to love it. But yeah, I came to a point in my life where I was like, I thought certain men wouldn't be attracted to me, so I would never approach them. Like, one thing I said, I've never approached a light-skinned man. because I always thought that light skinned men dated light skinned women. They only liked light skinned women, so I would never try
dating
light skinned men, because I don't like getting curved. When I shoot my shot, it's usually going in.
Hey,
listen, usually.
Hey.
What's that? I have a pretty good record of shooting my shot and like I'm pretty successful. I'm not gonna lie. But I shoot within like my security.
Okay, fair.
That's another thing.
Okay,
too.
Okay.
Like, you shoot in the range that you know you can get it in.
Yeah, and like I shoot in the range where I feel most comfortable.
Yeah.
And there were a time where I felt most comfortable around dark skinned men because mm-hmm. they were the men who gave me attention.
Yeah.
They were the men who would openly say they were attracted to me. Mm-hmm. And when white men were, it was kind of, I didn't feel it was genuine because they would always do that thing where like, oh, I love black girls.
Yeah.
It was like, okay. I've been with a black girl. Like, and I'm like, ugh, I'm already done. I don't want to. So I'm already uncomfortable. So I'm not going to approach a white man.
Yeah.
I've already been uncomfortable from the white men who ruined it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I shoot within my comfortable range.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've never thought, like, even if I thought a light-skinned guy, a light-skinned black man was cute, I would never approach him because I'm like, oh, he's not even going to like me. Like, right off the bat, I'm like, I know he's not.
Our experience is very different.
Really?
Yeah, because for me, it was, like, I talked to a lot of light-skinned guys.
Yeah.
Like, and I felt like they only looked at me.
Really?
Yeah. And I feel like if you ever lived in Scarborough, there was a time where, like, a lot of light-skinned guys were dating dark-skinned girls.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, there was, like, that I don't call it a phase, but there was a time.
I feel like in Brampton, it was so different.
Yeah, see, maybe. Scarborough was not.
So maybe it's based on region.
Maybe.
Like,
I don't know.
Where you live.
Region, or maybe like, because you're a little bit older than me, maybe like age. Like, I don't know. Maybe
probably.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. But in Scarborough, there was a lot of like light skin, dark skin. Like light skin guy, dark skin girl couples.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like opposites attract.
Yeah. And I talked to all light skin guys in high school.
Wow.
Like, yeah. The darkest would probably be you, and you're not even like that dark.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like brown skin.
But that wasn't a preference. It was just something that happened, no?
Well, this stems into the issues of me being a dark skinned woman. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like getting made fun of, you know? And mm-hmm. like saying to myself, okay, like, I'm going to be very transparent right now. And I said this in one of the family meetings. Like,
yeah.
Talking to light skinned guys, because I'm like, you know what? Like, if I have a kid with this man, our kids will be in the middle, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have to deal with the things I dealt with, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the things I went through, like, in my younger days. I'm older now, and like, whether you're light skinned, dark skinned, brown, like, if I find you attractive, I find you attractive, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But definitely, when I was younger, I was definitely going towards the lighter skinned guys
mm-hmm.
on purpose.
Oh, okay.
Like, it wasn't like, oh, like, you know, it just happened. No, like, I knew what I was doing, you know what I mean? And it's because of what I went through as a dark-skinned woman. So,
do we feel that sometimes interracial relationships are based, or when people have kids, are based off insecurities? Like, if you see, and I think it happens sometimes, not to ever speak down on interracial, but do you feel like sometimes black people may purposely only date white people because they want to have lighter-skinned kids?
I think if you're born now...
What do you mean?
No, let me retract that sentence. I mean, if okay, so I know a lot of girls right now that are my age,
mm-hmm.
okay, that like their parents or their dad was very like against dating black women.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And they are obviously half, like, they're
biracial,
you know what I mean?
Right.
So I feel like a lot of girls my age, that's what they went through.
Okay.
I don't know if it's happening currently. Okay.
Right.
But I think back then,
it was like happening. Like 10 years back.
Yeah, like 10 years, like, it was happening. Mm-hmm. Where they would date because, you know, they didn't like black women or whatever. I don't know if it's happening now.
I feel like it still happens, but it's always going to be like a situational thing.
Yeah. Like, do you feel like it's deep rooted from like insecurities of being a dark skinned person that you want to date outside your race because you don't want your kids to be dark skinned, or you didn't like being dark skinned, so you don't want your kids to experience that?
Course.
Do you think that's why they step out of or that's a reason why they step out of their race or dating within their race?
I would think so.
I think sometimes it happens
because
subconsciously, for sure.
Because as I said, like, I only spoke to light skinned guys because, you know, I was thinking of the future,
right?
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yo, the things I went through, like, I do not want my future child to go through this shit. Like, you know what I mean? And like, this is me in my younger days, and I'm already thinking about my future. Like, when I'm 30, I don't want, you know what I mean? Like, so I don't know.
Like, you were thinking about the repercussions of just your child's skin and
exactly
what they would have to endure.
Like,
which is what I also feel like probably happened a long time ago, back when, you know, slavery was happening too.
Yeah.
People were probably thinking the same thing. Well, you know, if I have a kid for the house owner, mm-hmm. then my kid has a chance at yeah. a better life, quote unquote. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I do think that we brought it all the way up until here. We're at, what, 2020
yeah.
now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Imagine. Some people are still thinking that way, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thankfully, I've grown out of it, guys, just so you know.
Yeah. I think it's a thing. And I have women who are close to me who have spoken about, like, the hardships they went through yeah. as a dark-skinned woman. Mm-hmm. And they're now with white men. Mm-hmm. So in my head, I'm always like, were you more attracted to white men as a way to trying to make sure your kids were, you know, mixed race so mm. they didn't have the insecurities that you had, which I definitely think is a thing. I think that's a yeah. deep-rooted issue. But when hearing these women talk about, like, you know, like, oh, like, white women, or light women were so mean to me, or, like, I never thought I was pretty, but now they have mixed race kids, it's like, I wonder if...
Yeah.
That's what... And I'm not to say your love is fake, no, but yeah. I wonder if that's what drew you to date outside your race, because yeah. you knew it would be more likely that you had a fair-skinned or, you know... a child with, you know, lighter hair texture or yeah. like looser curls, easier hair to manage. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that was an issue that you felt that you wanted to not instill on your children.
These are questions to think about.
There yeah. are huge questions. But I definitely think it's a valid question.
It is. I agree.
I don't know. All I know is that whoever I end up with, I just hope my kid has my skin. That's all I hope. Exactly. Like, exactly. And I will love them. I will let them know they are beautiful
yeah.
forever.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Stay outside for as long as you need.
Yeah. Yes. Like, it's not about every day cover your head with
SPF. With SPF, please protect yourself.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, we have to start from young.
We have to start from young.
Yeah, I agree.
We have to start from young. And that's a big thing. But
it's all a learning lesson, you know? Like, it is. Everything that you've gone through, you know, growing up, you just say, you know, I'm not going to do that. Now mm-hmm. or when I have kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you have the blueprint.
Exactly. We have to be the yeah. blueprint.
Wow, that's a statement.
Yeah, because yeah, I want to have kids, and yeah, I would absolutely. Never want my kids to feel like less because of their skin tone. Yeah, or if exactly. I have a black daughter, I don't know what
gender
my child would be. Not to say if I have, I know, like, when if yeah. So if I have a daughter, she will be black, and I would never want her to feel like her hair isn't beautiful mm-hmm. or yeah. her skin isn't beautiful, or she yeah. can't approach a certain man
exactly.
because of her skin tone, or she's scared of, you know, what men might do. Like, you know what I mean? It's just,
yeah.
no.
Yeah.
Erase that now. Yeah. So I will beat
the living shit.
I will listen. Beat someone's ass. I will beat someone's ass for my little cousins.
For my sisters.
My, yeah, anyone. Yes. Let alone my child.
For my friend's kids, I'll even pull yeah. up to the school. I Absolutely. Promise you, I'll be right there. Yeah.
So it's like, teach your kids love in the home.
Yeah.
Because I came from a house of love, and I think I came out okay. I mean, I have some of my issues, but I think I came out okay. I have a good look on life and relationships.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, teach your kids love within the home. I know sometimes it's hard. Sometimes things don't work out.
Yeah.
But you have to love your child. You have to know, secure your child in their skin.
Yeah.
And in their feelings. You know, like I said, teach your black daughter about her hair. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like, black hair, I hate hearing the thing where black hair isn't manageable. It might be more difficult to do sometimes. Yeah. You know, it might take more product. It might take more time. But it's still manageable. It's all about yep. teaching what works for them, what products work. You know what I mean? And I've had that experience. And I speak about it all the time.
Yeah.
It's important to
the hair.
Yeah. The hair is thing. A huge thing.
Yeah.
It gets me so tight. Like, yeah. when I wear my natural hair and they're like, oh my gosh, like, you have so much hair.
Right. Imagine. Like, as if you were bald.
Like, yeah.
Why did you even assume?
Yeah.
Like, because I'm full black, I can't have shoulder length hair.
Exactly.
So. I can't have hair that curls.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, not only the light skin girls that have curly hair, you know.
Exactly.
Like, the dark skin girls have curly hair, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
and people see my hair when it's wet. They're like, oh, wow, there's the white coming out. There's not even any white there. Yeah. Once that thing dries up, they're like, oh.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you guys, like, we need to step away from the whole... Every skin tone will have a specific hair color, specific hair type that goes along with it. Because it's a huge spectrum that a lot of people seem to keep forgetting.
Yeah.
Like, your hair type will vary no matter what. Exactly. There's women who are light skin with 4C hair.
Yeah.
There's women who are literally, like, super, super deep skin tones. And their hair is limp. No curl, mm-hmm. no nothing. It just happens sometimes. We can't control it. And it's there when it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It starts from home. And I hope it's not too late to start it now. But I hope that we will all inflict this on our children, our beautiful children that we have, hopefully we'll have one day.
In the name of Jesus.
Yeah. I know, I want to be a mom.
I want to be a mom too.
But yeah, it's definitely a thing. Yeah, what we have to teach. And I think Black women are strong and they're beautiful. And I think we've touched on so many important topics. So I hope men and women listening to this take it away. Just be respectful of women. Approach us calmly. If you see something wrong, protect us.
Yeah. Even
if
it's a
stranger.
Speak up.
Because it is hard being a woman, but it's very hard being a Black woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Preach.
It's hard. And there's a lot of double standards that we see that we've talked about. And I hope you guys see them too, because you should agree, because they exist. And like I said, it's all about uplifting within.
Yeah, let's start there. Let's start small. let's just uplift Black women moving forward.
Yeah,
let's and uplift each other. Too. Yeah, like we need to do it. Because if we're not gonna do it within our community, like who else is gonna do it for us?
Exactly.
You know,
because the white man's not gonna do it.
Nope.
Facts.
Nope.
Cool.
I'm even tired. I'm even tired. You know what?
We're gonna do your talking.
I'm even tired, but
it's fine.
No, because being a Black woman is sometimes tiring.
It's
you know
so
what I mean?
It is
like,
tiring.
But I wouldn't change it for the world.
No. Nope.
Listen.
Same.
I wake up and I'm like, yo, I'm a Black woman.
Exactly.
I'm happy.
Exactly.
So.
I was actually having that conversation the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just don't see the pros in anything else.
Yeah.
Personally.
Personally.
Yeah. And it's not even on like, we're better tip. Like, it's just a genuine, I don't see any other pro.
Like, we are fire.
To be something other than Black.
We're taste. As Africans say,
that,
we're taste.
That flavor.
We're flavorful. But yeah, I think we touched on everything.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That I wanted to, and that was a good conversation.
I loved it.
I hope everyone can relate. Mm-hmm. Clyde, you like the convo?
Love the convo.
So yeah, hopefully everyone can relate.
Two for two.
Yeah, facts. Two for two, episode two. So hopefully, I need my thing. Woo! I clap the thing.
Well, like a cut?
A cut, like the action.
We'll get one.
Keep in touch. Keep in tune. I'll have one hopefully by episode 4, 5. But let's cheers. So let me top up your wine.
Get it from like AliExpress.
Can you get it from AliExpress?
Hey, let's find a Black owned company. Black owned,
please. Yeah, let's find a Black owned company where I can find this, because
we gotta Google.
I need it.
We gotta do our Googles.
So that sums up episode 2.
That was amazing,
let's
guys.
Let's cheer. Thank you guys for joining me.
Ladies Night Edition.
Ladies Night Edition. Yes, please listen, share. So. Yes, you're listening to The Relentless Diaries. I'm your host, Zoe, and we're signing off. I'm here with Whitney and Yana. Do you guys want to drop your ads? Drop your ads.
So mine is Stony Brown. Stony D Brown on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And Stony Brown on Instagram.
Okay.
That's you. That's you. A celebrity.
You got bars.
We have a celebrity in the building.
No, that made me smile. Uplifting.
Mic check.
See, oh, so small.
Uplifting. Oh, that's gonna be the episode name. Mic check.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We have a celebrity in the building. That's gonna
thank
be
you so much.
Title.
No, seriously. Yeah. Bars. Thank
bars
you.
For real. I watch seriously. That all the time. It's your pinned tweet. I watch it all the
it
time.
It is. Wow. It is.
Girl, drop your ad.
Oh. And I'm Yana. My at is Lucidly with 3 Y's.
And I think you guys know my at. If you're tuning in right now on Twitter, it's ZX Smith, ZXSMITHH. And on Instagram, it's different. I don't know. It's ZXSHANIAA, ZX Shania.
Yeah.
Two different ones. But yeah, guys, thanks for tuning in. Episode 2.
Thank you guys.
Thanks you guys for joining us. Okay. And we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Nope.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more.
And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.